verse 30.
Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. You see, God's been saying this from the Old Testament. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. I sought for a man among them who will make a wall and stand in the gap between me on behalf of the land that I should not, what? Destroyed. But I found no one. I was looking for an intercessor. I was looking for somebody who will pray for the land where they live. He said, I found nobody. And the New Testament equivalent is 1 Timothy 2:1, which is the church is, this is something the Lord is really throwing out to the church. He said, I exhort, therefore. Exhortation is what somebody is urging you to do. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and what? Intercession. Did you see that the Holy Spirit differentiated them? Supplication, prayer, and intercession. That's what I was telling you. That as a Christian, you really, the word intercession is not the best to use when you are praying for a fellow Christian. Because there's only one intercessor between man and God. But so intercession you can do for a heathen who has no connection with God. You can be between him and God and praying for him as a heathen, an outsider. But you can do supplication on behalf of your Christian brother who is also in the Lord. But however, like I said, because the word intercession is being used anyhow, you know, so we just use it so that people understand what I'm saying. So 1 Timothy 2:1 said, I exhort therefore that first of all, he puts it number one. When you gather, the first thing I want you to do is this. First of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. First of all, this is to the church. And all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit writing to you, sitting there, and to me here. First of all, this is what I want Christians to do. To engage in supplications, engage in prayers, engage in intercessions, and giving of thanks for to be made for all men. Verse 2. Then he began to break it down. For kings and for all that are in what? Authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be what? Saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, this scripture is like the one God says, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap. So that these people are not destroyed. So in the New Testament, he said to the church, I want you to stand in the gap so that they're not destroyed. So they don't go to hell. So that all men are saved. So you make intercession for all men. You pray for those in authority. You pray for those that are leading you. So that, because I desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that is the underlying reason God is saying to the church, I need you to pray for how many people? All men. All men. Instead of finding fault with them, talking about their fault and talking about, God said, shut up, go pray. That's what you need to do. When you do that, I do something. Go pray. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and what? And men. The man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Amen. So we see that God is encouraging the church to get into intercession for all men. Intercession for all men. The need of the hour is believers who will pray prayer of intercession constantly. Constantly. This is a manifestation of the love of God. When we begin to pray for other people, when we begin to focus on other people, you cannot walk in the love of God when you focus only on yourself and your family. That's not the love of God. The love of God is that you focus on the other person, praying for them, that the will of God be done, that they experience the fullness of God. Praying for those people you know that are not saved, that God will send laborers to harvest them. God wants the church to pray for all men. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of who? Of God. For all men. For all men. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was sharing this with Pastor Fashor. I said to him, I said, the Lord is talking to me about intercession. And I began to share with him what God was sharing with me. And he said, Pastor, this is exactly what God told me in January, and I didn't understand it. He said, as you were talking, my eyes popped open. And so they went to pray this week in their church. And he shared these things with them. And they began to intercede as the Holy Spirit had instructed the church. All of a sudden, God's power hit all of them. He said, Pastor, I've never seen anything like this. The power of God hit all of them. All of them. And for the first time in their church, there were 360 that showed up Sunday morning for service. He said, I don't know where they came from. I said, no, when you start doing the will of God, God starts sending people. But we are a selfish church. God does not bless a selfish church. God does not bless selfish people. The book of James makes it clear. He said, you pray, you don't get because you want to spend it on your what? On yourself. He said, God does not bless it. It does not stamp approval on selfishness. A selfish church, God doesn't bless it. A church that is not prepared to listen to God and think outside and think of others and pray for people and pray for others. God has no use for such a church. It's dead. God says, I'm looking for a man who will stand in the gap. Not people who will gather and be talking about their own selves, praying for themselves, getting blessings for themselves. God, that's not God's program at all. Because God loves people. Oh, man. God loves what? People. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. You see, the heart of God doesn't want anybody to perish. So he said to the church, when you gather first of all, pray for how many people? All men. I don't want them to perish. I don't want you to gather and begin to criticize them, find fault with them. Just pray. That's what I said you should do. Pray for all men. Look at Matthew 18, 20, 12. Matthew 18, 12. How think he? What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes what? Astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Verse 14. Is it which verse you read? I read now. Well, okay, 13. If he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over 99 that did not go astray. Then 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones, one of these people in your church, one of these people in your life center, one of these people you don't see, one of these people in your job, it's not his will that any of these little ones should perish. And she said, when you pray for them, pray that the church should pray. The church should intercede. The church should be in supplication for all men. And mature Christians have been given an assignment. One of the signs of maturity is you've grown this childish carnality. Mature Christians have been given serious assignment that they should bear the scruples of the weak among them. Bear the scruples of the weak among us. Look at Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong, I'm reading New King James Version. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. We ought to bear with this, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please what? You're not reading with me. And not to what? Please ourselves. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his own good, leading to edification. Verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you did what? Fell on me. He's saying, let the weakness of the weak fall on the mature Christian to pray for them. Let it fall on the mature Christian. Let the weakness, let the infirmities, let their sinfulness, let it become the burden of the mature Christian. The reproaches, all these reproaches should fall on the mature Christian, should bear it in prayer and supplication, not in gossip and spreading. Look at that. It didn't say one sheep. When the one sheep lost, God lost the night. The other people were in church rejoicing. He said, nonsense. Let him go. He's not even, he should get out. He said, no. We'll go look for him. Go look for him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was sharing with somebody, my mentor, the man that God used to teach me Christianity. He preached in one church, and one sister got saved. God baptized the Holy Spirit. He said he went back to that church the next time, and because of the dramatic salvation, he was asking them, "Where is this woman?" Ah, they said, she has backslidden. Say she's not, she's a useless woman. And God spoke to him. He said, "And this church is responsible." He said, "I'll hold them responsible for that soul." Because instead of their sorrowing and praying, they're here condemning her, calling her names, and being glad to get rid of her, spoiling their church. It's not fit to be here. Get out. But that's what we do. That's what we do. Count them, you're not worthy. How do you leave them? Let these people, let them get out. No. He said, you go after that sheep for God's sake. In the mountains, wherever they are, you go after them with prayer, you be on your knees, you get sorrowful. I said, part of you was taken away. First Thessalonians 5:14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. They won't pray. Lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Encourage those who are what? Timid. They need encouragement. Take tender care of those who are what? Weak. Be patient with some people. Be patient with what? Everyone. Everyone. And see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Now, look at Joel 3:13. You will see why the church needs to pray for all men. All men. Joel 3:13. Swing the sickle. Joel. Is that Joel or Joel? How do you pronounce it? Huh? You don't know. I don't know. So both of us. I call it Joel. You call it Joel. All of nobody knows. But you know what I'm talking about now. It's Joel. Swing the sickle. For the harvest is what? The harvest is what? Come, tread the grapes, for the winepress is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Continue. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of what? Decision. There, the day of the Lord will soon arrive. People are waiting to... People are making decisions every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And we need to pray. We need to pray. He said thousands and the value of decision. By deciding whether to be Christians or deciding not to be, so I decided whether to go to church, whether to read their Bible. With a lot of thousands in the value of decision. And the prayer of the righteous makes much power what? Available. For the heart of the king is in the hand of God. You will see why God says, I'm looking for somebody who will stand in the gap so these people will do the right thing. And they told the church, get up and pray. Those of you who are matured, you should bear the scruples of the weak among you who are making decisions. 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 Making decisions. Again, remember what we read last week. It is time for Zion to travel. Because except there's traveling, Zion will not produce. In Isaiah 66:7, before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, the next one is talking about the church. Verse 8, it's not talking about the church. Who had heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion, what? Traveled. What did she do? She brought forth her children. Children in the kingdom are born by travel. They are born by prayer. They are born by prayer, church. They are born. That's the word of God. The place we read said, whatever things were written of old were written for us today, for us to learn. The church must pray. Supplication, prayers, and intercession. Can I hear amen? That's how the spirit life is formed in people. People are born babies and they grow as we pray, as we take on their scruples. Instead of finding fault with them, talking about them, avoiding them, but there's a problem here. Matthew 9:37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. But the laborers are, I will tell you pretty soon, why very few people, you see this thing I'm teaching, not many Christians understand it, and not many Christians even do it. I will show you why by the grace of God as we go there. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are what? Few. Then he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Look at what the Holy Spirit wrote in Philippians 2:19. This is the church. This is many years after Jesus died, though. This is the church in Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for what? You are not reading. Go back then. Let's read 20 together. One, two, go. No man like-minded who will naturally care for your what? State, verse 21. For all seek what? Their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Remember, when Jesus said this thing, he said, the laborers are few. He said, pray, pray. Church, you need to pray that God will send laborers. Years after, the Holy Spirit is saying, a whole church, an entire church, only one man cares for the things of Christ. That's the report card. Now, if you read the writings of Paul, you will see that Paul almost died a broken-hearted man. And one of the things that broke his heart was lack of spiritual growth among Christians. Every letter he wrote, he pointed that out. He wrote to the Corinthians, he told them, you are supposed to be growing, you are carnal people. He wrote to the Hebrews, he said, you are supposed to grow, you still want people to feed you, this is. He wrote to Ephesians, he said, look, the reason God gave you all this to teach you is to bring you to maturity. It was bothering him because he didn't find people to hand over this work. And that's why he said, if I depart, grievous wolf will what? Rise up and tear the sheep. Nobody, no mature person to stand in the gap and deal with them. How do you think he felt passing away? And the reason is really lack of spiritual growth. Let me tell you something. Natural babies and spiritual babies behave alike. Natural babies have their values out of order. Completely out of order. Man, my little baby, Amara, when he was younger, I'll be preaching here, Amara, we think I'm talking to her, and she'll be replying. I said, you got that grandpa's voice. So once he has grandpa's voice, he starts talking to me. We're in church. What does she know? Church for where? She doesn't know anything. A baby, her values are totally out of order. And a baby wants to eat, church or not, you must feed. She starts yelling right here during Holy Communion. They are intensely selfish. Intensely selfish. And their values are totally focused on themselves, not on somebody else. Spiritual babies are that way too. Church, I'm telling you the absolute truth. You know spiritual babies because they focus on themselves too and not on others. Their value system is they place the things of the world, what? First. And place the things of the kingdom, what? Second. Why? Their mind is full of the things of the world and not full of the things of God. They don't know God. Babies don't know anybody. Don't know anybody. They know their parents by smell. They told me that smell. I don't know. They tell me something. They smell the mother. I don't know. So, spiritual babies put carnal things number one. All their prayer is about carnal things. The reason they come to church is about carnal things. The reason they do anything is about carnal things. That's why they live. But when they grow out of carnality, spiritual things become number one for them. The kingdom of God takes precedence for them. Can I hear amen? Because their faith in God has solidified. They're not seeing God from whom all good things what? Come. And they cling to him. They live with him. I mean, God becomes everything because it's like, whoa, I can't live without him because it's all and awful. And that's when the will of God becomes important. What is God saying? God wants me to pray. Wow, I need to pray. The other person say, God wants us to pray. He laugh and go because his mind is not, it doesn't come to a radar. It doesn't have understanding. You are speaking Greek. You are really talking Greek. And Jesus said, there are few who can do this. And the Holy Spirit said, not many still. Only one man. Hebrews 5:12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Milk. Milk defines babies. Milk. They can't take responsibilities. And not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. He's unskillful. He's a baby. Doesn't understand what you're talking about. It's a baby. A baby. Don't understand. But strong meat belongs to them that are of what? Full age. They are the ones that see the need to intercede, to pray for people. Their value system has changed totally. Completely. I told you, I said, when you start hanging out with God, your language will change. You don't have to introduce yourself. Your interest will show where you are. For out of the abundance of the heart, what? Your mouth will be talking. What is important to you will show up in what you say. Will show up in what you say. And because a lot of people are carnal, they are not invested in the things of the kingdom sufficiently. They are not sacrificing what will bring them to where they ought to be with God. Because for you to really hang out with God, you pray, you pay a price for it. Pay a price that shows God that this is important to you. You need this thing. This is important to you. So when we grow, we understand values. We understand kingdom values. Like God is saying, I'm looking for a man. You think just any man will just start investing his time praying for people he doesn't know? No. When you grow, you understand values. You see it from God's point of view. It becomes a passion of your heart. You begin to engage in serious prayer, and that thing the scripture of God is saying, it keeps you awake praying. It keeps you awake praying because your heartbeat and the heartbeat of God, you are syncing up with the Holy Spirit because his heartbeat is Lord. He's saying, who will go for me? Who will I send? Who will stand in the gap? Church, let the mature carry the scruples of these weak ones because I love them. I really love them. I die for them. I don't want them to perish. Their neighbors, I want them saved. I want this nation saved. Let me say something here. Look at this scripture, Romans 6:7-6. You know, the Lord was talking to me about this scripture, and that was amazing what he was showing me. Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from what? The law. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, you know, what the Lord was showing me from this scripture, and remember I've taught on this scripture again. He was asking me a question. He said, between what Jesus does and what a man does, which one is better? Answer me. Between what you would do in your life, obeying the law, and what Jesus does, which one is better? You are not sure? Huh? That's what the scripture is saying. It says you don't serve God by what you do. You serve God by what Christ what? Does. That's what he's saying. Simple. That's why no matter how I try to obey the law, it can't come close to the life that Christ lives through me. What is the Spirit of Jesus is doing? You can't compare them. And so God said, you serve me through what my son is doing, not what you are doing. And Paul said, we serve Christ, God in our spirit, not by our flesh. That's a simple thing. And then that's why you grow in grace, understanding what Christ is doing. That's the grace of God. That's the work of grace. The more you grow, the more you trust him, the more you grow in faith, the more you trust him, the less you trust yourself, the less you look up to yourself. The less you look at men, the more you see him, the more you know him, the more you trust him, the more you can rely on him, the more you follow him, the more you follow him, the more you know him, the more you are in close partnership with him, the more you are more spiritual. Can I hear amen? And the more you give him glory because you know, wow, Lord, this is you. Wow. You see God at work. You say, wow, I see you every day. David said, I see the Lord always what? Before me. You see Jesus at work every day. Every day. You see his presence. You see his, you know that this is not me. This is him. This is him. Wow. Lord, this is great to, I see your presence at work in my life. You see self-control. You see his nature. The life he gave you, the eternal life. He is the one manifesting that. And there's nothing I will do to compare with what Jesus will do to me. And Paul said, because of that, Paul says, I'm now dead. It is no longer I that what? Live it. Because there's nothing I do to compare with what Christ does. So now I give it up to him. I live simply by trusting him. Morning, afternoon, night. Praise the Lord. And now, when we're talking about this type of prayer, only the Spirit of Christ can manifest that love of God that will make you do things like this. It's not a man to do this kind of thing. It's not natural. I don't care how many, it can be senior pastor anywhere. If Christ doesn't do, if not Christ, it's not God. This thing issues from him. This love is God's love. This life is the love of God. It's not the love of man. It's the love, is God's nature that Christ imparted in you by his presence. If he removed Christ from you, you don't have it. You don't have it. So it is Christ at work in me to will and to do. He's the one. The more you grow in dependence on him, the more you grow in reliance on him, the more you see his heart, his spirit begin to touch your heart and move your heart and begin to move you into compassion. His compassion begins to take over your life. His love begins to control you. That's what Paul said. Paul said, we are controlled by the love of God now. We are constrained by this love. It's moving me. He said, whatever I do is Christ now moving me. That's when you can pray with all your heart for people who are lost, people in the Sunday school, he will show you, people in your life center. But you pray your heart out if God gives you an assignment. Brethren, I grew up by the grace of God as a life center leader. I will spend hours and hours seeking God for that life center. I'm not kidding. It was burning in my heart. It took over my life. I pray for hours for this church. I don't count hours. I'm telling you, sometimes I'll pray from morning to evening. The only time I won't pray is when I'm talking to you. Once you get away, I'm back to praying this way. Continuously praying for this church. I have no other passion in life. I don't have interest in anything else. I don't even know what to anybody. I have no social. Why do you see me? I don't have interest. I don't have interest at all. Don't impress me. Don't interest me. I'm not interested. The Spirit of God can bring you to this where, believe you me, where you see nothing except what God is seeing. And it's not because you are a better Christian. Except you have told God, I don't know anything. I trust you. Then he starts walking. I'm nothing. He keeps walking. I'm just nothing, Lord, though. He keeps walking. Without you, I can do nothing. He starts doing it. Except you build, I can't do anything, Lord. I don't know anything. He starts doing it. Life center leader, I'll pray my heart out. I knew their problems one by one. I'll pray for them by name. By name. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So spiritual growth will bring us to where our value system changes. You see what God is talking about. You know, Peter came to Jesus. He said, don't talk about death in our culture. 30 years is not, you shouldn't die at 30. You are too young. He was quoting Jesus when Jesus talked about his death. Jesus said, Peter, get the they said, Satan, do what? He said, you see like men, don't see like God. You're carnal. You don't have an idea what you're talking about. This is the plan to save the whole humanity. You don't talk. What are you talking? He said, Peter, Satan, get out. You see like men. Brethren, we need to grow out of carnality to see like God. Because the wisdom of God is foolish to people who are carnal. This kind of teaching, believe you, may not even stir your mind, may not even bother you. You can hear it and go home. That's why people come to church, hear someone, they go home doing what they are doing, because their mind is carnal. They never set spiritual goals, because to them, it doesn't exist. But you see, Paul set spiritual goal that I might know him and be conformed to his image, to be like Jesus. It was his goal, he said, that I'm going to know him and I'll be like him and I'll suffer like him. It doesn't matter. And he did know him because he had more revelation than anybody else. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. Ephesians 3:13. So I ask you, I'm reading Amplified, Ephesians 3:13. I'm going to read all the way to 19. All the way to 19. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I am suffering in your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you. Verse 14. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ. You see, Paul said, I see the plan of God by which God builds us together with Christ. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and earth is what? That Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you out of the rich treasure of his glory to be, number one, what? strengthened, and number two, reinforced with what? Mighty power. Where? In the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through what? Your faith, actually do dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. Now he's writing to Christians who have Jesus in them. He's saying and praying that the reality of the reality of Christ in you will become so real, your faith will capture it and believe it. Your faith will capture it and believe it. May you be rooted deep in love. Somebody shout hallelujah. May you be rooted deep, what? In love and founded securely, where? On. Did you see the prayer topics this man is bringing out? Do you see where his heart is? He said, knowing the plan of God for you, to bring you into unity with Christ. Therefore, I'm praying for these things for you, that you may have the power and be strong to now do what? Apprehend and grasp. That's to have an understanding with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really now come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses what? Mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled now through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Can I hear amen? When you begin to grow and begin to capture God's mind, the Spirit of God begins to give you some prayer topics like this. This kind of prayer topics is not what you get when you are too busy running all over the place. He says, knowing God's plan to bring you into unity with Christ, so you walk with Christ. Now I'm praying that you are strengthened, that you are not weakened because of my suffering for you and the things I'm passing through, so it does not weaken you and make you fall away. And he's praying for them that they will know this love of God practically, and that their faith will grasp the fact that Jesus lives in them. He said the reason is that through these things, the God will flood your life, manifest himself in your life, and bring you to a place where you too become a vessel of love. Look where God works. Praise the Lord. Then the love of God will begin to control you. Begin to control you. Look at 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down what? His life for us. We ought to lay down what? Let's read 1 John 3:16 together. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. Second Corinthians 5:14. I see the result when you have God flooding your life, when you grow and become more spiritual, living the spirit life, allowing Christ to walk through you. Let Jesus flood my life and your life. For the love of Christ does what? Constraineth us. Because we thus judge now that if one died for all, then what happens? Then we all did. Continue. And that he died for all, that they which live should know henceforth what? Live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. First Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I speak. When I was a child, I what? Speak as a child. I understood what? As a child. I thought what? As a child. But when I became a man, I put away. Do you know that children play with toys? Toys, that's what they play with. I don't know any adult who plays with toys. Adults play in the real world. What Paul is saying, all this, you see, these things, carnal things and worldly, they're toys. They're toys. They're like a perfume. You can spray them, but you don't drink them. Praise the Lord. You can spray perfume and smell nice even though you didn't shower for 4 days. But you cannot what? Drink perfume. That's the way these things are. He said, when I was a child, I played with all these toy things. He said, but now I've grown, I put away all these childish things. The things that are the real deal is the things of the Spirit. That's the real world. Living in Christ, that's the real world where Christians live. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I please all men, even as I please what? All men in all things. Can we read it together? In all things. Not my own profit. What am I seeking? But the profit of many, that they may be saved. You see what I'm saying? You see the heartbeat of this man? He said, I don't seek nothing about me. My own profit, no. But I'm seeking their profit. Profit of many, that they may be saved. We need to understand that God is calling every Christian to the prayer of intercession. God is calling us to the prayer of intercession. There is no other person to stand in the gap except you and I. And we are not called to murmuring and complaining. We are called to edify. We are called to build up. We are called to love. We are called to surrender our lives. We are called to give our time. We are called to invest in the things of the kingdom of God. Seek you the kingdom of God, what? First. Let's not be babies who seek toys first. If babies come here, if they see toys, that's where they go. Look, Christian babies all go to toys. But the real deal is in the spirit world. It's the life of Christ. Jesus is the real deal. He's the substance. He's the substance. He's the real deal. Our heart, our mind must be focused. And we must have this goal to grow. To grow. You are not grown because you've been a Christian 18 years. You are not grown like that. You are not. You are grown because you have left the toys alone. You are no more involved in toys. You are no more emotional here and all these kind of things. You are no more. Those are toys. You found the real deal, which is Christ. You are living the real life. You are seeking the spirit life. Brethren, whatever I teach here, whatever anybody teaches, if you are not seeking it, you won't get it. It has to be something that becomes a goal for you, that I have to have the fullness of the spirit life. It has to be something that is burning in your heart, that I will know Jesus Christ and be conformed to his image. You must have to have that kind of desire, because whoever seeketh what? But whoever does not seek, does not get any. We have some 14 minutes, and I want us to use it to pray. I want us to use it to pray. We pray for all men. Pray for all men. I don't know if whoever the Holy Spirit will put in your heart to pray for now, that they be saved, or whatever God puts in your heart. If you're a life center leader, you know you have opportunity to pray. If you're a Sunday school leader, you know you have opportunity to pray.